Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
On the amazing power of gratitude, Sarah Brednock said, "Both abundance and lack exist simultaneously in our lives as parallel realities. It is always our conscious choice which secret garden we will tend. When we choose to be grateful for the abundance that's present, love, health, family, friends, work, the joys of nature and personal pursuits that bring us pleasure, the wasteland of lack falls away and we experience heaven on earth." What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy McSwain from McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Larry McSwain.
Hey, Mahara. This is in Corinth, Texas.
Aloha from Arkansas.
Good morning in Minneapolis.
Aloha from Arkansas, Mahara. Aloha
hey,
from Arkansas.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, beautiful Amy. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara and everyone. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. We're glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Who is that coming out?
I was just clearing my throat, Mahara.
Who is that?
This is
Good
Sarah.
Morning, Mahara. This is Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida. How are you feeling this Fired Up Friday?
Anthony Williams, I'm excited to be alive. How about you, my friend?
I am excited also, Mahara. It's great to be here on the Think and Grow Rich call.
And we're glad you're with us.
Good morning, Mahara and everybody. It's Michaelyn in Minnesota.
Hey, Michaelyn. Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York. How you doing today?
Hey, Charity. Things are just rosy here. How about for you?
That's great. Great. Freedom Friday. Freedom Friday.
Freedom.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning,
Arnita.
Arnita in Chicago. Good morning.
Hey, lovely Arnita.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who else did I hear stepping out? Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Sunny Sacramento, Sheila. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so glad you're here.
Yes. Thanks.
Kevin, Mr. eBay Jackson in South Carolina.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Mahara. Good morning, Emmanuel from Dallas.
Hey, Manuel. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Good morning, Mahara. Shahida in Cincinnati.
Hey, Shahida. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Hey, Lisa Scott. Good morning.
Lisa Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys are already getting me fired up.
It's Freedom Friday!
It is Freedom Friday! And we are growing and moving towards a better life every single day on this call. I am excited to be here. Okay, guys, we're going to be getting started in just about a minute, so you have a short time left to tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Ms. Harris. This is Lionel in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, Lionel, good morning. We're so glad you spoke up.
It's good to be here.
Gentlemen, think and grow rich enthusiasts, passionate people all throughout the world. Good morning and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. It is, as Lisa Scott said, Freedom Friday, August 14, 2015. Another great day to be alive. My name is Paul Hutchings. I'm excited to be here. I'm pumped up about what we're, the journey, I'm pumped up about the journey that we're about to embark on today, guys and gals. Today, we're going to jump back into Think and Grow Rich, 1937 edition by Dr. Napoleon Hill, and I'm fired up about that because, as many of you know, this book was the breakthrough that I had been looking for many, 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 many years while working from home. I was struggling, living in a single-wide trailer house, one night, desperation, knelt down by the side of my kid's bed, prayed to God for help because I was felt like I'd done everything that I could possibly do. Things were still not working, and I got this impression to begin studying the book, Think and Grow Rich, and not just reading it, not just flipping through the pages, but really digesting it and actually doing what the book told me to do. And after that, I started hitting the income goals that I'd had for the previous 5 years and beyond, and this was the book that was the breakthrough for me. So I'm excited to get into this. I know, my friends, that there are people on the call right now who are ready for the messages that are contained in this book, and I, for one, hopefully am one of them. I'm excited about the new ideas, the new breakthroughs, the new perceptions that I'm going to have as we get into this. So maybe you can be getting that out, getting it ready. If you don't have the book, you can grab it on our website at growrichaudios.com, the free download section. And I want to share a quick message, and then we'll open up the lines. I want to share a quick message with you guys before we get into the content of the call and get doing all the regular things that we do. I was talking to one of my best friends yesterday, and he was expressing to me his desire to share messages and his message. But he was having this problem, and the problem was he knew he has these important things inside himself, these things that he's learning, these successes that he's had in business. He's got this message that needs to get out to people because it can help them, but at the same time, he's got this massive fear of criticism. What are people going to think of him? And this fear has crippled him from being able to do the things that he knows he needs to do. Like, he knows he should be making videos every day so that he can be practicing his speaking skills and so that he can be getting these messages out there. But this fear of what are people going to think has sort of like stopped him in his tracks. And I was talking to him yesterday and I was like, I really wanted to help him. I'm like, oh man, please help me. Let me help you get through, you know, this challenge you're having. And maybe there's someone on the line right now that has had similar fears, like, well, I'm not sure I want to make a video because what are people going to think? What are they going to say? What if I don't look right? What if I say something wrong? I don't want to do a Google Hangout because this and that and the other. I don't know that I don't want to do a conference call because this, that, and the other. And there's all these fears. I don't want to speak on stage because this, that, and the other. There's these fears that are there. And I'm going to tell you that this book we're going to go through is going to help you tremendously. But I wanted to share with you guys and gals a couple of things that I shared with my friend yesterday. The first thing I shared was a quote that came to me quite a while ago when I was pondering what is the difference between being arrogant and confident. Because as we study the works of Dr. Napoleon Hill, Thinking Grow Rich, Law of Success, all the books that we study, it seems that he exhorts us to be self-confident, to have faith, to believe in ourselves, to know we can do great things, to know we can achieve our definite major purpose on the one hand. And then on the other hand, he cautions us throughout his literature to beware of pride and arrogance and lifting ourselves up above, quote unquote, the common herd, right? So to get this idea that like we are so much better than other people, he cautions us against that. So one day I was like, well, what's the difference between being confident and being arrogant? And what does all that have to do with, like, you know, like sharing messages and things like that? How do we come off confident versus coming off arrogant? And you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with, like, overcoming the fear of sharing a message? Stay with me. So here's a quote that came to me. A self-confident man or woman must be heard An arrogant man or woman must be heard for the sake of being heard. A self-confident man or woman must be heard for the sake of the message being heard. So an arrogant man or woman must be heard just because they want to have the limelight. They want to have the spotlight. They want to be the one in front of the crowd that everyone's looking at and applauding for and admiring and shouting praises at. So an arrogant person, for them, it's all about them. It's all about, look at me. Look how cool I am. Look how great I am. A self-confident man or woman, on the other hand, knows that it's about the message. They know that it's the message that needs to be heard. It's not about them. It's about getting the message out to the people who need to hear it. And that's why, like, 5 years ago, when I had this transformation with this book, Think and Grow Rich, was I scared to get on a conference call? Yeah, I was. I was scared. But the importance of the message somehow empowered me to overcome my fear and get over myself and get on a conference call and begin to study this book, because I knew that this book was changing my life and I knew it could change the lives of other people. So I was focused on the message, and getting the message out was more important than what anyone might think or say about me. So as we're thinking about getting on a video, getting on a hangout, doing a conference call, doing whatever it is we know we need to do, speaking on stage, getting on a prospecting call, whatever it is, if we can remind ourselves that it is the message that needs to get out there and what the message can do for the people who are going to be on the receiving end of that message, I think that can help a lot with that fear, at least I hope it can. And then the other thing that I shared with my friend on this fear of criticism, which again we're going to get more into in this book, Think and Grow Rich, was something that I heard from a seven-figure earner within my company. He says, you know, everyone's sitting around thinking about. He says, you know, everyone's sitting around thinking about, what are people thinking of me? What are people going to think of me? What are they going to think of my shirt, my shoes, my pants, my hair, the way that I speak, the way that they're like, what are people going to think? And he said, the truth is, everyone else is thinking the exact same thing. So that means that nobody is thinking about you. They're all thinking about themselves. And isn't that true? They're not thinking about how cool Paul is or not cool Paul is. They're thinking about, well, how cool am I? Like, what are people thinking about me? So we're all thinking about ourselves. Isn't that funny and also enlightening at the same time? Because we can realize now that nobody is sitting around thinking and talking about, you know, how cool or not cool we are. They're all thinking about how cool or not cool they are. And when we realize that, we can be free, because we can know that we don't have to fear what other people are thinking or saying, right? We can just be our powerful selves and get the messages out that we need to get out into the marketplace so that they can do the good that they're supposed to do. And then the last thing I shared with my friend, and then we'll get into our study, is one of my favorite scriptures from the Bible is the one that says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick so that it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may glorify your that you may glorify your Father who is in heaven." And I love that scripture. I love those lines because to me, it provides inspiration to me that I am supposed to let my light shine. I'm not supposed to hide it. I'm not supposed to cower away. I'm supposed to shine my light so that people can have a good example, so that people can be inspired, so that people can feel that they can do great things too. And that inspires me, and it helps me to show up and do the things that I do every day. And so hopefully, my friends, those thoughts maybe have helped some of you who have been struggling with some fears of putting yourself out there, because I just know, guys, I know there are people out there. Like I was telling my friend, even if it's just one person, what if 10 people make fun of me, but one person has their life changed by what I said? Would that be worth it? To me, it would. If 10 people want to make fun of me and laugh at me and have their day, go ahead. But if I've impacted one life with the video that I put up, if I've made one person smile, if I've made one person maybe shed a little bit of tear because they were touched by something that I said, and everyone else made fun of me, to me, that would be worth it. So maybe we can remember that as we're going forth and gathering up the courage that we need to be the blessing in the world that I believe we were meant to be. So I love you guys, and I hope that the message is well received. So, guys, I want to know, are you excited to get into Think of Courage? Are you excited about being the light that you were meant to be in the world? Are you excited about being a blessing to the people around you? Are you excited about focusing on the message so that it can impact the people in the way that it's meant to impact them? If you are, I want to hear you scream into the line as I unmute the phones on this Freedom Friday right now.
You better
coolest thing ever. You guys have energy, fire, enthusiasm, excitement just roaring into the lines on this Freedom Friday. So thank you for that. I appreciate that so very much. Like Joe Dollar says, so very, 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 very much. Love you guys so very much. I love that, Joe Dollar. Love you, man, and I love you guys. So, hey, I know that yesterday we had a couple people that were wanting to do the Major Definite Purpose Self-Confidence Formula, and then we kind of pushed them off. And forgive me, I don't remember who they were, but if you could star six and come back right now and lead us through that, that would be fantastic. Who was that coming out yesterday?
Sacramento Sheila. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sheila.
So I do not read this as money because I believe it's property, it's friendships, it's people in our lives that are added to us. So by the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In addition, in exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service towards my chief aim in life and my definite major purpose in the capacity of... I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm receiving and awaiting even more plans by which to accumulate this, and I will follow those plans when they are received. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite major purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I've clearly written down a description of my chief aim in life, my definite major purpose, and I will continue endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day, at least, with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Now, this is, I believe, that possibly Napoleon Hill used this as a prayer. I believe it follows his belief as a prayer. It's called Four Things. Four things a man must learn to do if he would make his record true: to think without confusion clearly, to love his fellow men sincerely, to act from honest motives purely, to trust in God and heaven securely. That's by Henry Van Dyke. Thank you so much for the privilege to bring this forth to everybody. God bless you.
Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate that. One second here. Hey, guys, if you believe in Sheila, let's let her know real quick. Okay, guys, let's get to work. Author's preface, Think and Grow Rich, 1937 edition. Napoleon Hill writes, in every chapter of this book, mention has been made of the money-making secret, which has made fortunes for more than 500 exceedingly wealthy men whom I have carefully analyzed over a long period of years. The secret was brought to my attention by Andrew Carnegie more than a quarter of a century ago. The canny, lovable old Scotsman carelessly tossed it into my mind when I was but a boy. Then he sat back in his chair with a merry twinkle in his eyes and watched carefully to see if I had brains enough to understand the full significance of what he had said to me. When he saw that I had grasped the idea, he asked if I would be willing to spend 20 years or more preparing myself to take it to the world, to men and women who, without the secret, might go through life as failures. I said I would, and with Mr. Carnegie's cooperation, I have kept my promise. This book contains the secret. After having been put to a practical test by thousands of people in almost every walk of life, it was Mr. Carnegie's idea that the magic formula which gave him a stupendous fortune ought to be placed within reach of people who do not have time to investigate how men make money. and it was his hope that I might test and demonstrate the soundness of the formula through the experience of men and women in every calling. He believed the formula should be taught in all public schools and colleges, and expressed the opinion that if it were properly taught, it would so revolutionize the entire educational system that the time spent in school could be reduced to less than half. His experience with Charles M. Schwab and other young men of Mr. Schwab's type convinced Mr. Carnegie that much of that which is taught in the schools is of no value whatsoever in connection with the business of earning a living or accumulating riches. He had arrived at this decision because he had taken into his business one young man after another, many of them with but little schooling, and by coaching them in the use of this formula, he developed in them rare leadership. Moreover, his coaching made fortunes for every one of them who followed his instructions. In the chapter on faith, you will read the astounding story of the organization of the United States Steel Corporation, as it was conceived and carried out by one of the young men through whom Mr. Carnegie proved that his formula will work for all who are ready for it. This single application of the secret by that young man, Charles M. Schwab, made him a huge fortune in both money and opportunity. Roughly speaking, this particular application of the formula was worth $600 million. These facts, and they are facts, well known to almost everyone who knew Mr. Carnegie, give you a fair idea of what the reading of this book may bring you, provided you know what it is that you want. Even before it had undergone 20 years of practical testing, the secret was passed on to more than 100,000 men and women who have used it for their personal benefit, as Mr. Carnegie planned that they should. Some have made fortunes with it. Others have used it successfully in creating harmony in their homes. A clergyman used it so effectively that it brought him an income of upwards of $75,000 a year. Arthur Nash, a Cincinnati tailor, used his near-bankrupt business as a guinea pig on which to test the formula. The business came to life and made a fortune for its owners. It is still thriving, although Mr. Nash has gone. The experiment was so unique that newspapers and magazines gave it more than $1 million worth of laudatory publicity. The secret was passed on to Stuart Austin Weir of Dallas, Texas. He was ready for it. So ready that he gave up his profession and studied law. Did he succeed? That story is told too. I gave the secret to Jennings Randolph the day he graduated from college, and he has used it so successfully that he is now serving his third term as a member of Congress, with an excellent opportunity to keep on using it until it carries him to the White House. While serving as advertising manager of the LaSalle Extension University, when it was little more than a name, I had the privilege of seeing J.G. Chaplin, president of the university, use the formula so effectively that he has since made the LaSalle one of the great extension schools of the country. The secret to which I refer has been mentioned no fewer than 100 times throughout this book. It has not been directly named, for it seems to work more successfully when it is merely uncovered and left in sight, where those who are ready and searching for it may pick it up. That is why Mr. Carnegie tossed it to me so quietly without giving me its specific name. If you are ready to put it to use, you will recognize this secret at least once in every chapter. I wish I might feel privileged to tell you how you will know if you are ready, but that would deprive you of much of the benefit you will receive when you make the discovery in your own way. While this book was being written, my own son, who was then finishing the last year of his college work, picked up the manuscript of Chapter 2, read it, and discovered the secret for himself. He used the information so effectively that he went directly into a responsible position at a beginning salary greater than the average man ever earns. His story has been briefly described in Chapter 2. When you read it, perhaps you will dismiss any feeling you may have had at the beginning of the book that it promised too much. And two, if you have ever been discouraged, if you have had difficulties to surmount which took the very soul out of you, if you have tried and failed, if you were ever handicapped by illness or physical affliction, this story of my son's discovery and use of the Carnegie formula may prove to be the oasis in the desert of lost hope for which you have been searching. The secret was extensively used by President Woodrow Wilson during the World War. It was passed on to every soldier who fought in the war, carefully wrapped in the training received before going to the front. President Wilson told me it was a strong factor in raising the funds needed for the war. More than 20 years ago, Honorable Manuel L. Quizon, then resident commissioner of the Philippine Islands, was inspired by the secret to gain freedom for his people. He has gained freedom for the Philippines and is the first president of the free state. A peculiar thing about this secret is that those who once acquire it and use it find themselves literally swept onto success with but little effort, and they never again submit to failure. If you doubt this, study the names of those who have used it, wherever they have been mentioned. Check their records for yourself and be convinced. There is no such thing as something for nothing. The secret to which I refer cannot be had without a price, although the price is far less than its value. It cannot be had at any price by those who are not intentionally searching for it. It cannot be given away. It cannot be purchased for money, for the reason that it comes in two parts. One part is already in possession of those who are ready for it. The secret serves equally well all who are ready for it. Education has nothing to do with it. Long before I was born, the secret had found its way into the possession of Thomas A. Edison, and he used it so intelligently that he became the world's leading inventor, although he had but 3 months of schooling. The secret was passed on to a business associate of Mr. Edison. He used it so effectively that, although he was making only $12,000 a year, he accumulated a great fortune and retired from active business while still a young man. You will find his story at the beginning of the first chapter. It should convince you that riches are not beyond your reach, that you can still be what you wish to be, that money, fame, recognition, and happiness can be had by all who are ready and determined to have these blessings. How do I know these things? You should have the answer before you finish this book. You may find it in the very first chapter or on the last page. While I was performing the 20-year task of research, which I had undertaken at Mr. Carnegie's request, I analyzed hundreds of well-known men, many of whom admitted that they had accumulated their vast fortunes through the aid of the Carnegie secret. Among these men were Henry Ford, John D. Rockefeller, Thomas A. Edison, George S. Parker, and I'm going to skip over these because there's a whole big list, but you're welcome, Dr. Alexander Graham Bell. Check these out in the book. And I will point out, we were studying this a few years ago, and one of my friends and mentors, if you guys have been on the call for a while, you remember Doc Fran. He used to get on this call quite a bit. He pointed out that as we look at these names, these two columns of names, there's something very curious about these two columns of names, and maybe I'll leave it up to you to discover. So we'll continue on. These names represent but a small fraction of the hundreds of well-known Americans whose achievements, financially and otherwise, prove that those who understand and apply the Carnegie secret reach high stations in life. I have never known anyone who was inspired to use the secret who did not achieve noteworthy success in his chosen calling. I have never known any person to distinguish himself or to accumulate riches of any consequence without possession of the secret. From these two facts, I draw the conclusion that the secret is more important as a part of the knowledge essential for self-determination than any which one receives through what is popularly known as education. What is education anyway? This has been answered in full detail. As far as schooling is concerned, many of these men had very little. John Wanamaker once told me that what little schooling he had, he acquired in very much the same manner as a modern locomotive takes on water, by scooping it up as it runs. Henry Ford never reached high school, let alone college. I'm not attempting to minimize the value of schooling, but I am trying to express my earnest belief that those who master and apply the secret will reach high stations in life, accumulate riches, and bargain with life on their own terms, even if their schooling has been meager. Somewhere, as you read, the secret to which I refer will jump from the page and stand boldly before you, if you are ready for it. When it appears, you will recognize it. Whether you receive the sign in the first or the last chapter, stop for a moment when it presents itself and turn down a glass, for that occasion will mark the most important turning point of your life. We pass now to chapter 1 and to the story of my very dear friend, who has generously acknowledged having seen the mystic sign and whose business achievements are evidence enough that he turned down a glass. As you read his story and the others, remember that they deal with the important problems of life, such as all men experience, the problems arising from one's endeavor to earn a living, to find hope, courage, contentment, and peace of mind, to accumulate riches and to enjoy freedom of body and spirit. Remember, too, as you go through the book, that it deals with facts and not with fiction, its purpose being to convey a great universal truth through which all learn not only what to do, but also how to do it, and receive as well the needed stimulus to make a start. As a final word of preparation, before you begin the first chapter, may I offer one brief suggestion which may provide a clue by which the Carnegie secret may be recognized? It is this. All achievement, all earned riches, have their beginning in an idea. If you are ready for the secret, you already possess one half of it. Therefore, you will readily recognize the other half the moment it reaches your mind, the author. So, my friends, there's the introduction. I think that is a fantastic place for us to stop and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. I think this is going to be an interesting mastermind. One thing that I want to encourage everyone is that if you do feel you know the secret, please don't mention it in the mastermind portion of the call. Simply for the reason that Dr. Hill pointed out, that it will mean so much more to people as they discover it on their own, as they search for it through the book, and as it jumps out to them and they recognize it and they realize it and then they can use it to go forth in life and do whatever they set their minds to. I think it's important that we respect Dr. Hill's wishes on that. You know, one of the things that I love to do as of late as I'm working with people individually is this is the challenge that I give them. I invite them to read the book Think and Grow Rich, just like we are doing together now, and I invite them to do so with the purpose of discovering the secret. And it's been so fun to watch some of the people that I've been giving this invitation to, because they're reading, and some of them have read Think and Grow Rich before. In fact, some of them have had some pretty good success in life. And I ask them, I say, you know, do you know the secret that Dr. Hill refers to in the book Think and Grow Rich? And they don't. And I'll give them the challenge. Read the book again and discover the secret. And now it's just fun to watch them read the book with renewed energy and vigor and excitement and curiosity as they're searching and searching and searching for the secret. And it's just the coolest thing ever, because, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is, you know, this idea that we are all seeds, aren't we? Like, we've got this tree growing inside of us that's maybe destined to come out. There's something great maybe we're all supposed to do here on this planet, and we're all seeds. And I love that concept because it always helps me to remember that we can never judge another man or a woman because all we see is the seed, right? In fact, I was talking to one of my best friends yesterday, and we were talking about believing in people. And I went through a time in my life, guys, where I was struggling with believing in people because, you know, just different experiences I'd had. There was a point in my life where I was really having a hard time. And I was frustrated, and I was struggling with this belief in people, and I had talked about it with my friend. Well, yesterday we had this lunch, the same friend, and I was able to look him in the face and say, man, I'm over that. I believe in people, and it feels so good. And part of what we talked about was, you know, he was telling me about how like 10 years ago, and well, actually one of the things I said is I said, where we were 10 years ago is not who we were today. Is not who we are today. And who we are today is not who we're going to be 10 years from now. And that's one of the big reasons why we always have to believe in people, because what we see now is the current version. And the current version is going to be different than the 12-month from now version and the 5-year from now version and the 10-year from now version. And you know what my friend said to me? He said, Paul, 10 years ago, I was broke, uneducated, I had maybe $10 in my pocket, and I remember bouncing 3 checks at my bank, and I called the lady because they gave me these overdraft fees, and I chewed her out, and I was rude to her, and he said, and this is a friend now who is free. This is a friend now who literally can create $50,000 to $70,000 income on demand whenever he wants to. So he's successful now. But he said 10 years ago, I remember calling this lady at the bank and chewing her out. And she said, well, I'll give you one or two of these back. And he says, no, I want all of them back. And he was rude to her. And he said, I wish I could go back and tell that lady I was sorry. But he said, if you could have looked at me 10 years ago, there is no way you could have forecasted where I would be today. And he was a seed 10 years ago, and he's still a seed today. And so I love talking about that. But anyway, the point, I kind of like went off on a total tangent, but here's my point. I like the idea that we are planters of seeds as well. Not only are we all seeds, we are planters of seeds. And so when we invite people to read the book Think and Grow Rich, and we plant the seed of giving them the invitation to read it with the intention of discovering the secret, I wonder what that seed can grow into as people take that seed and take it seriously. I wonder what it can grow into. So, in any case, guys, I appreciate you being here studying this stuff with us and passing the information along, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts on the content of the call so far. So keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of our mastermind community, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please.
Great.
Star 6, who's free? Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. I found it interesting that his comments about education of his day was it did not prepare you for the tools you need to be successful. And, you know, it's more true today than ever. It was interesting. Mark Cuban said recently, he's not afraid of being controversial, said that college students were getting duped and getting ripped off today because they don't have the skills to actually be successful. I just looked it up this morning, and what percentage of college students actually get a job in their chosen field? This report said only 27% of students actually get a job in their chosen field. My younger brother is a financial executive for a technical college in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is a pretty small town. And 97% of their kids get a job in their chosen field. And that's not a great economy in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So it shows the problem, highlights the problem that our education system is not working. And then the greatest tragedy of all is that our kids today there's more college debt than there is the total of credit card and auto loan debt. So we're loading our kids up with the second largest debt in their career, and we don't have give them the tools to actually use that and make be successful and make money. So that's why I'm so thankful for this call and everyone on it and the things we share, because there are the keys to success here. They're all the seeds of success are here. And so, you know, whenever I get a chance, I tell people on this call, because I don't know where they're at, but this call might be just what they need. So y'all have a wonderful weekend. God bless y'all, and back to you, Paul. Thank you.
God bless you, Bill Moist. Appreciate you so much. Great thoughts. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul. It's Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
How are you?
Excellent.
Paul,
how are you?
Good. Thank you, and the Think and Grow Rich family. All I have to say is, woohoo, back on Think and Grow Rich. Now, Think and Grow Rich. Paul, I know that every day I'm getting better and better and better. I also host a family reunion call. I'm on the board. We do our family reunion every year, and I've been attending them from when I was 8 years old. Well, long story short, my aunt passed away, and she gave me the job, so I've been doing it. Sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. This week was a week when it did not work well, and I had to exercise the power of hanging up the phone so I didn't lose my cool. And I was very upset, but what happened is, because of the principles of Think and Grow Rich, thinking about what you do, the family members began to call me and say different things. Don't leave us. We need your leadership. You're a great leader. You're this, you're that. And then yesterday, I kept seeing words, Paul, like this. And I wrote four things down. I said, is it a coincidence that when you're reading books like Think and Grow Rich, the right words come to you? Yesterday, I saw words like this. Today is an opportunity to get better. Don't waste it. You already have the tools to succeed. Now you just need to find out how to use them, Zig Ziglar. Another one, never forget that intelligence rules the world and ignorance carries the burden. Therefore, remove yourself as far as possible from ignorance and seek as far as possible to be intelligent, Marcus Garvey. Last but not least, this was the last one I saw. It's titled Growing. When you are transitioning to a new season of life, the people in situations that no longer fit you will fall away. Don't fight the process. I kept seeing all these messages come to me, and I couldn't help but think it's because of where I am, what I'm reading, and the call that I get on every morning and learning to think differently. That's my share.
I love it. So powerful. Hey, I got to tell you something funny real quick, because you mentioned a family reunion. You know, I spoke at this last event that I went to, and one of the things that I said was, I was driving down to Las Vegas, and the thought came to me that I'm so excited to go to this event to see all my friends, and I said, this is like going to a family reunion. The only difference is everyone here I actually want to see. I'm kidding, right? Sort of. But, like, isn't it funny that, like, sometimes, you know, we have these little challenges with the people who are close to us. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. I wanted to share. Appreciate you, Sharon, and you are a powerful person. Keep up the great work. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, pal. Larry Coates.
Hi. I'm from New York.
All right, I heard Larry and then Veronica.
Okay.
Good morning, Paul. Hey, I really appreciated your opening comments this morning about fear and all that.
Hey, Larry, I can't hear you. Hold on. Just Larry, Star 6, come on out.
Hey, do you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Thanks.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hey, Paul, do you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead. You sound good.
Okay, sorry. So I wanted to say I wanted to thank you for your comments about fear at the beginning. And especially I wanted to make a comment about, you know, how you said that you worry about what people think, or how, you know, about how you look, or how what you're saying or whatever. And I wanted to say that what you said, that people are never thinking about you, they're only thinking about themselves, that's not totally true, because I remember when I was watching this white rapper a couple weekends ago, everybody was watching him and really paying attention to him. So it's there are times when people pay attention to you. Talk to you later, Paul.
Appreciate that, Larry. Veronica, go ahead.
Happy Freedom Friday. Good morning, Paul. Happy Freedom Friday to you and the Singing Glorious family. So, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I want to thank the lady who spoke for reminding me or telling me this because I was feeling a little something with this job that I started working with the children, with the youth, and it seems that the person who brought me into the project didn't have the intentions to have me do what they asked me to do at all. And in my 50 years of experience, more like 40 years of experience, I'm doing pretty much a summer camp counselor position and not getting to show, you know, to teach what I know how to teach and share what I know with the children. And actually having a feeling of being, I listened to what the lady in front of me, the first lady said, and she reminded me to just go ahead and do what I can do within the constraints that were put there, but still be who I am. And she did what she could do within the restraints of who she was, I mean, what she was in, and still stood in who she is. So it's going to be over in another 2 weeks. But I'm really determined to let the children be, recognized for what they can do and, just be a support to them until I get out of there. But I was feeling what she was feeling at the beginning of her reunion, and I wanted to thank her for sharing that because I didn't know how to put into words what's going on. But I do see the next step for me in my process of being able to show people how to live with their creativity because I understand something about what we're learning here, something about it turned on a light bulb about what, where my strength lies and what I can do to help people live a more fulfilled and happy life. And so, once again, I thank this Thinking Glorious family for sharing what they have, and I feel power in the group being able to share what they get out of the readings because I learned so much more than if I just read it by myself. Thank you so much, Paul, for putting this together, and I thank everybody who chooses to participate every morning. That's my
story. Thank you, Veronica. Appreciate you sharing. Just awesome. Hey, Pass. Hey, let me clear the line for you real quick. Pass, star 6. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Pass?
So blessed and highly favored. Oh, man. It's as I sit here and listen to everyone talk, I think about, the time that I truly spend with my children, my babies, like you talk about 10 years ago in the evolution, my oldest two children were around the Minister of Misery, and I was a hardened person. I was in the streets. I didn't smile much, and I was a totally different person. And my babies have only known the happiness engineer because they were too young to remember when I was anything else. So it's funny, as I deal with my different sets of children, my oldest son is still a little bit tough around the edges. My daughters are always going to be sweethearts. And my youngest son is such a leader. But you know, the energy that you put into your children just comes out to be so much different. Like my kids started their second business this year. They're now selling waters. So you'll see them walking around New York City selling waters, especially on warm days, you know, and they're excited to do it. You know, they're in the city with me, and my wife's in Pennsylvania. And she was like, why do you have these kids doing these businesses that you want to do? And my daughter immediately stood up and said, Mommy, we asked to start a business. Daddy been trying to make us have fun all summer. and it's funny because one of the things I teach my children is just because it's recreation doesn't mean it's going to be fun. A lot of people spend so much time in recreation, going through life watching TV, going through life complaining. They don't realize that the root word of recreation is recreate. And we recreate the things that we put our minds to. So if we waste our time in complaints, we waste our time with downtrodden people. If we waste our time with miserable people, we recreate a miserable lifestyle. But at the same time, we spend our time, you know, gaining applicable knowledge. We spend our time with people who enjoy life. We spend our time with people who want to smile bigger and find more happiness and love in life. You'll also find that you get to recreate a more lovely, more happy life. And I've been blessed to be embraced by a bunch of different people, you know, along my travels. But it's all because I want to smile big and change the world. Because what I want for myself, I want for all people. So I just, you know, state that to everyone here. Recreation does not always mean you're going to have fun. So pay attention to what you're recreating. Because you determine what kind of lifestyle you'll have by what you do with your off time. Love you guys.
Powerful thoughts, Mr. Happy to
Sacramento Sheila, good morning.
Hey, Sheila, good morning.
Good morning. I was so thrilled to get to bring forth our definite major purpose again. It's been a long time. And then I love what you brought up about fear, the fear about what are people going to think of me or whatever, all the different, you really made a long list. So I found a poem, a very old poem. It's called Just Be Glad, and it's by James Whitcomb Riley. It's free. It's on Gutenberg.net. Anyway, oh, heart of mine, we shouldn't worry so. What we've missed of calm, we couldn't have, you know. What we've met of stormy pain and of sorrow's driving rain, we can better meet again if it blow. We have erred in that dark hour. We have known when our tears fell with the shower all alone. Were not shine and shower blent as the gracious master meant? Let us temper our content with his own. For we know not every morrow can be sad. So forgetting all the sorrow we have had, let us fold away our fears and put by our foolish tears, and through all the coming years, just be glad. James Whitcomb Riley. Good morning, Paul Hutchings. Think and grow rich. Wonderful. It's like coming home, isn't it?
It is. Appreciate that, Sheila. Thank
your
you.
First,
great poem.
Your first favorite.
Good morning.
Have you ever heard that poem?
I have not, no.
Okay,
that's
just
a good
be
one.
Glad. It's free. It's through Gutenberg.net, and it's free, so anybody can
awesome.
Get it. I'll try to post it maybe. Bye for now.
Thanks, Sheila.
Good
who
morning,
is the lady
Paul.
Coming out? Hey,
hi.
Who's that?
Adriana from Queens, New York.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to just make a quick reference to what stuck out for me this morning when you mentioned the difference between self-confidence and arrogance. And I thought that was a very powerful statement, especially in a world where we live with social media and sharing our individual opportunities and visions and purposes. I just thought that was very, very powerful. And the key being how the person who is exuding self-confidence, it's really all about the message that they're sharing. And I definitely It's really funny how sometimes you just need to hear, you know, there's a little twist to everything. You know, even in business, you think you're going in one direction, and then all of us, you know, you get it, you know, and it clicks, and you're like, you know what, this isn't about me. It's about what I'm doing to help other people. So I just wanted to take a minute and say hi to, you know, to you and the Think and Grow Rich family. You're all a blessing. I have to just say that all of your words really have stuck with me. All of your, you know, everything that you share is very powerful. But I just wanted to take a moment and tell you, even actually getting brave to participate in this call is another step forward for me. So thank you so much.
That's awesome. So proud of you, Adriana. Thank you for doing that and showing us all a great example, being, you know, fairly new to the call and still just coming out and sharing. Thank you. That's fantastic. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
This is Robert from New Jersey.
Hey, Robert.
How you doing? I've been on the call for a little more than a year. I've done the Major Definite Purpose one time, so this is my first time really speaking out. But I felt compelled because when I was on the call yesterday and you said we were going to be starting this book today, I got excited. Because it was through almost 3 years ago. I think it was September 2012 was the first time I ever read Think and Grow Rich, and I read it by myself. I read it a second time by myself, before I knew about the call. Then somebody introduced me to the call and you guys were reading it. And I think we've gone over it another time since then, and I've listened to it on audio. And every time I've gotten something different out of it, I've learned something more. I'm still working on what that secret is. I think I know what it is, but I'm still working on that hope. I think I'm going to get it this time. But it's just, you know, of all of the books that we go over, I love to listen to everybody's perspectives because you always gain something from that. And but this was the book that started to change my mindset 3 years ago. So I got very excited when you said that yesterday. So, you know, I'm going to try to do my self-confidence and start being more active on the call and participating a little bit more this time around. So I just wanted to say that to you this morning, and back to you, Paul. Thanks.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, and looking forward to hearing you participate more, my friend. Appreciate that
Patrice
very much.
Patrice and Dallas.
All right, I heard Patrice and then Joe. Patrice, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to everybody. Happy Friday. Paul, I really, like the gentleman before said, I was really excited when I heard yesterday that we were going to go back through this book, and this morning was particularly telling for me because you had a point, you had a post yesterday, I think it was, on prayer, and I am a person who firmly believes in it, but I've been struggling with something, and this morning I thought about, you know, what you shared about how when you got to a point in your life, you know, you just prayed because you didn't know what else to do. And I think that was where I've been for a while. And the issue is that because of all of the negativity in the world, the suffering and all that, even though I am a person of faith, my thinking is, I find myself thinking, it is difficult to admit this to myself, but it always seems that when you look at the world, that wickedness or evil is triumphing over good. And sometimes that could be so negative. I've stopped listening to the news, you know, and all that stuff to sort of counteract that. I am a regular Bible reader and prayer, but I realized that this was something I really, really, really had to deal with and fight and fix. And so I prayed about it this morning, and I asked that I would get the help I need to see it from a spiritual and a positive angle. And so it brings me back to this call and this book. It's a huge part. It's not the whole that I use to direct my life and make decisions, but Dr. Hill's perspective and how he's written and the positivity and showing that, you know, people who had nothing and who came from nowhere triumph and, you know, did wonderful things for people. This is, from what I can see, a definite answer to prayer in some way, probably not in total. And I am really looking for, I've read the book through with a group before, but this time I'm reading it from another angle, and I just appreciate the fact that we're going over it again, and I realize the importance of continuing to go over things, because sometimes when we read something the first time, you know, you don't see things, and you've shared that with other things with you. So I just wanted to say that I'm excited and I'm present, and I hope that this brings the answers and the peace to other people that I am totally thinking this can help me with to get over my issues. So that's what I wanted to share. Just grateful, and have a wonderful weekend. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrice. You too. Hey, Joe, you got a quick one? We got 1 minute left.
Yes, sir. Real quick. I just love the fact that even what she's saying, you know, and it changes when people talk. But you opened this call, but the reading about this book about the secret. Now, I've read this book I don't know how many times, but the secret is so important that we grasp that secret, that it's a great, 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 super wonderful, super fantastic thing, the secret. And I know that I have the secret right now. And I just want to let everybody know that it's there and it's great the way that we're doing this. I wanted to say some other things, but we come in that time, and it's perfect. It's perfect. The secret is great. Let's read this book this time, and even newcomers, read the book with the secret in mind. With that secret, that one secret, just read this book this time with the object of finding the secret, because it's real and it works and it's this. So true is the truth. I love you all so very, 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 very much. Let's read this book this time with the sole intention of uncovering the secret for ourselves. I love you all. Bye-bye.
We love you, Joe. Awesome stuff, guys. Hey, one final thought, and then let's all head off for our day. You know, Patrice was, you know, thanking us for continuing to go through this book. And, you know, I couldn't help but remember the quote that says, "The truth must be preached again and again, for error is constantly being preached roundabout." And it seems like when we find great things, when we find things that ring true, when we find principles that bless the lives of people, to repeat them and preach them and share them and find different ways to express them, find different stories to express them, find different metaphors to express them, the goal is to just continue to do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, which is what we're doing on this call, and I'm glad we are. So thank you guys for being on this mission. Get out there, make it a fantastic day, and we'll see y'all back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Okay.
Have an awesome weekend, guys. Appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.
Thank you again. You guys are awesome.
I love you, family.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Love you guys.
Oh, great selection.
Always see your possibilities.
That's right.
That's why this is
hallelujah.
The best call
ever.
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 Ever. Ever.
love it.
I love it so much.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Love you,
that was amazing.
Bye, guys. Sorry for no music today, guys. My internet is acting up. So we'll see y'all back here Monday. Have an awesome weekend, guys. Bye-bye.